One, let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity to study your word this morning. Thanks for those who are still coming. I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, to learn something from your word this morning, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 1, you might notice verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you might notice in verse number 15, Peter says, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Incidentally, I'm having an email conversation with someone these days who doesn't want to give up very easily, even though I answer his full 3 and 4 paragraph news emails with like 2 lines. It's not chasing him away, but he's trying to convince me that it's God who shows himself as the Son sometimes and shows himself as the Father sometimes and shows himself as the Holy Spirit sometimes. That's not a new teaching. That's actually heresy. And so I pointed to him this account here where you have the Father talking to the Son. That makes no sense if they're not two different people, you see. And so I just wanted to point that out on the way. Verse 18, this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. It's funny, you can always tell when people are arguing and haven't read the Bible because he came back with, well, Jesus was the only one who heard it. It doesn't sound like it. Who else was with Peter and Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration? John and his brother. That's right, the sons of thunder. Good. Verse 19, for we have also more sure word of prophecy, wherefore you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. Interpretation, there's probably not the clearest word. It's an Old English word, and you could probably, maybe some of you have the word origin in your version. Does anyone have anything besides interpretation? Because it might lead you to believe that it is dealing with whether or not you say something means something, I say something means something, and we don't have private interpretations. And that is true. There's only one interpretation of Scripture, but there are several applications, I get that. But what this word here means is that Scripture all came from the same place, same origin. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's hear it again. Prophets spoke prophecy by the Holy Spirit. Let's say that again. Prophets spoke prophecy by the Holy Spirit. Moved along there is a nautical term. It has the idea of being moved along like a sailboat when the wind blows through the sail. And so Peter says, prophets in the old time, you could say in the Old Testament, verse 21, prophecy came in the old time, not by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, and then it might make sense to you when you look at the next verse in the next chapter, which starts talking about false prophets. So it must be that he's about to tell us about people that don't agree with what we just said. So what I wanted you to see, okay, before we go to Revelation 19, is let me say it again. Prophets spoke prophecy because they were moved by the Spirit. Okay, look at Revelation 19. You've already turned there. So Revelation 19, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to write some things up here on the board. Hopefully, you'll see where we're going. And if you don't, hopefully you will by the time we're done. You'll see where we've been. Okay? All right. So, all right, we have this. I'm going to write this up here, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. All right. And he said unto me, who's the he? Well, probably the voice out of the throne in verse 5. He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Notice what we have. We have someone saying, write, blessed. So he's saying, John, write a blessing for some people. Right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said, these things are the true sayings of God. Okay, I'm going to come over here. Bam. All right. These are the true sayings of God. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. All right, so we have testimony of Jesus. That word testimony there. Anyone want to take a stab, no pun intended, at to what the Greek word is there? Someone has it in their lap, I'm sure, on their phone. Comes from the word martyr. Okay, so let's read it with that idea there. Verse number 10. I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the martyrdom of Jesus. Worship God for the martyrdom of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, let's look at that again. The martyrdom of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right. So we're going to focus on this idea of spirit here. And then I think I'm going to skinny this up a little bit. And I think I'm just going to shorten it to spirit so I can keep room in here. And I'm going to come all the way over here and I'm going to put Son of Man. And you're going to notice the Son of Man is not in Revelation 19. Okay? But we do have these three things. Okay? So I'm sort of loading the boat for the next passage of Scripture. All right. So what does it mean when it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? All right, let's think this through. The witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right, we're going to think that through. Look at chapter 1 of Revelation with me. We're going to do a little comparison here, so maybe we can get an idea. Number one, what is the spirit of Jesus, or rather the martyrdom of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy? And number two, why would John have fell down to worship someone who wasn't God? Okay? Those are two good questions. We're going to answer them in the next 7 or 8 minutes. Okay? So here we go. Revelation 1, verse number 3. Let's start with verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, look here, who bare record of the word of God and, look at there, what does it say? Testimony of Jesus. So we have the testimony of Jesus. Look at the very next word. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are, what? Written. Well, what is the first thing that that Jesus, we find out later, tells John to do in verse number 19? Write. Blessed are those who write in Revelation 1. Or I should say, right, blessed are those. In verse 3, it's blessed are those who read and hear and keep. Look at verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, it's Asia Minor back in the day. Grace be unto you and peace from that which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven, what's that say? Spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto the God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, every eye, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your true... Look here, your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the what? Test. So it's found twice in Revelation 1, isn't it? Now, isn't this interesting? Look at the very next verse. I was in the what? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So we have John writing prophecy in two different places, and we're told in two different places it is the spirit of prophecy that is teaching him to do this. Okay, very interesting. All right. Is there anything else I want to show you here? Yes, there is something else I want to show you. We want to know who's talking to him. Well, look in verse number 12. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Yes? So the Son of Man is talking with John, and we find out it is John that it is the resurrected Jesus. What of all the things Jesus could have introduced himself as, how did he introduce himself in verse 18? Right, so what major Christian fact is Jesus identifying with right away? Resurrection, victory over death, that's right. And so we could say a witness is someone who has seen the resurrected Lord, right? I mean, the apostles had to see the resurrected Christ to become apostles. Isn't that true? All right, even Paul did. He said, have I not seen the Lord? Am I not an apostle? And so we understand that being a witness of the testimony of Jesus or having the witness of Jesus, that is the same, that word testimony there is the same word used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Well, who was in that crowd of 11 that day? No? It's kind of important for today's discussion. John. John was told in Acts 1:8, you'll be witnesses of the resurrected Christ, and the Spirit of God is going to help you do it. 2 Peter 1, who spoke to people about prophesying of the Christ that should come? The Holy Spirit carried them along as like a wind does a sailboat. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so we're getting close to a good answer here, and that is, remember Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, that is a little confusing. As a matter of fact, I've thought about that verse for about 8 days now, because I'm like, well, it's not like the Spirit of God is an inanimate object. What does it mean? What does it mean to say the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus? Well, the Spirit of God means it comes from the word pneuma. Let me write that up here in another color, and I'm going to ask some of you people what you think this means, okay? Pneuma. Some of my fellow students of the Scripture, look at this word right here. That is the word behind spirit in the New Testament. What word do you see there that we use a lot today? Any of you work on cars? Pneumatic tools? Air-powered tools, right? Well, the Greek word behind spirit is pneumas. And the study of the Holy Spirit is known as pneumatology. Therefore, the study of the Holy Spirit is the study of the breath of God, the wind of God. The Holy Spirit is a person who is the embodiment of the breath of God. So, when we say in Revelation 19:10, the Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, we're saying that the knowledge of a resurrected Christ drives the prophecy train. In other words, out of all the things that John could have talked about, look at verse 7. What does he talk about? He's given you the whole purpose of the book of Revelation. What's he going to talk about? Chapter 1, verse 7, right? You still there? That Jesus is coming. All right? And so if he's coming, that must mean what? That he went away. The fact that he went away must mean what? Yes, but before that, in order to go away, don't you have to actually be here? And in order to be here, if you already died, don't you have to actually come back from the death? Okay, so to say that you believe in the second coming of Jesus, when you say I believe in a physical, visible, bodily second coming of Jesus, you're saying he got it from the dead. Yeah. So when we say that the testimony of Jesus or the eyewitness accounts of the apostles that saw the resurrected Christ, and by the way, they're not the only ones. Paul said 500 brothers saw Jesus resurrected. But the testimony of people who saw a living Jesus, Revelation 1:18, that is what drives the belief into the second coming of Christ. If he's alive, that means he's coming back again. So you understand that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is prophecy? Telling what's going to happen, right? So knowledge of a resurrected Christ is the breath behind prophecy. Y'all see that? The spirit of prophecy is the knowledge of a resurrected Christ. In other words, John is saying this, and the man who's talking to him in Revelation 19 is saying this. If Jesus wasn't alive, he'd have nothing to talk about. Isn't that true? Think through that phrase with me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, or the martyrdom of Jesus is the breath of God that drives prophecy, or the eyewitness accounts of a living Christ who was dead is what drives the train for us to talk about a second coming. Does that make sense? All right, look at chapter 14 real quick. Let's look at this again, and then we'll pray for the food and bless the fellowship to come. Revelation 14, and look at look at verse number 11. This is probably one of the unhappiest verses in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, but I believe it. Revelation 14, 11, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night and worship the beast in the image. 14, 11, whosoever receives the mark of his name. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And here's what John says. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write blessed. Okay? Right, blessed are they. Verse number, where are we? 13. Blessed are they that die, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Who says it? The Spirit. All right. He hears that those are dying for what? Blessed are they which die in the Lord. So they're dying because they're not a part. It doesn't say the phrase here, but they're dying for the Lord in the context. So it's implied. We'll put it there. I don't want to put a full check mark. It's implied. All right, now who does he see immediately after he hears that voice? Say it again. All right, see it in verse 14? Son of Man. All right, now quickly. In Revelation 19:10, I'm going to ask both questions once again, and then we're done. Okay, does everyone see the gaping hole here? Okay, good. All right. Question number one. What does it mean to say that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? The fact that Christ is alive and people have witnessed to that drives the prophecy train through the spirit of prophecy. The wind of God drives the prophecy train, so to speak. Or how about this? The spirit of God blows the prophecy sailboat because there is a living Christ. There's no second coming to talk about if he's not alive. Okay, that's what that phrase means. The second thing is, and if you don't agree, well, let's hear it throughout the week. The second one is, why do you think John bowed to him? Think of Revelation 1. Think of Revelation 14. Now, Revelation 19, the third time that this sort of scenario happens, why do you think that John bows to this voice? He thought it was what? Yeah, or a vision of it, so he thought it was who that was speaking to him? He thought it was the Son of Man. It's only happened two other times. Both times he looks up and sees Jesus. Okay? So in 19:10, he has to be told, no, I am of thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So, wow, there's a third question that we don't have time to answer today. If he's not, listen now, he's not an angel. He wasn't a created angel. Why? Because he's John's brother. And he's not God and he's not Jesus, so that makes me wonder, well, who is this person? Okay? So maybe we can talk again about this, huh? Did I hear a guess back there?
Yes. I just think that the translated version.
Well, I don't mind doing a word search. The King James, where do you see that? What verse? It's interesting. There's clearly a textual variant there. And now, here's what I do want to point out. I'm not against saying that, and that's why I was very careful the way I phrased it. This is not a person who was created as an angel. Okay, so let me run a story by you, and then I'll ask Brother Dick up here before I open more cans of worms, okay? All right. When Peter was released from prison in Acts chapter 12, and he goes and knocks on the door of Rhoda. Remember Rhoda's mother? And Rhoda was that little girl that went and checked and, hey, Peter's out of prison. And she went back and told the adults that were praying. They said, no, it's not. Shut your mouth. You're just a dumb kid. It's his what? It doesn't say spirit, doesn't say ghost. It says it's his angel. So there was a belief back in the day that when you died, if you were a saint, you became angelic or an angel form. That's not hard to grasp. It's not hard to believe. Matthew 22, Jesus said in the resurrection. And I know that Peter's not resurrected at that point, but in the resurrection, will be like the angels. Do you remember that? So in some sense, it's okay for the author, even if he looks at an angelic appearing being and says, the angel said. I'm interested in sorting out the textual variant, Jesse. Sure, I am. But for all intents and purposes, it was not, according to the text before us, an angel, especially since angels aren't worthy of worship either, right? So worship God. All right. Brother Dick, why don't you come and ask God to bless the food, and then we'll have good, strong 25 minutes or so to fellowship. And I told someone who's kind of new with us in here this morning, you don't have to go around and be the politician that kisses babies and shakes hands, but people will probably come say hi to you, okay? All right.